This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
God. Amen. I mean to know that we must be spirit-led people. Amen. And we have been talking about, and the Spirit of God has been dealing with us about being spirit-led, not led of the flesh, not led of the soul, not led of someone else's opinion, not led by reason, but led by His Spirit. Amen. Amen. When you have Matthew chapter number 4, I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when we had fasted 40 days, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came unto him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen, amen. As I said before, we've been talking about being spirit-led, amen? So for thought this morning, man, I want to speak to you from this thought and this idea. The triumph of being spirit-led, amen. The triumph of being spirit-led, amen, amen. At this time in Jesus' life, we find that in those days he had came to John baptizing and preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And John was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so Jesus went to him and John recognized him. And Jesus said, let it be this way for now. Let it be that you baptize me in the river Jordan. And Jesus was baptized by John. The Bible says that as Jesus came out of the water, that the Bible says that straightway out of the water, lo, the heavens were open unto him, and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. Amen. And John heard, even Jesus heard the voice, and that he was the Son of God. And he said, this is my beloved son, saying, and this is my son in whom I am well pleased. After this event, after this happened, then Jesus was spirit-led. Amen? Amen. You know, there ought to be some events that happen in our life some encounter that we have with God, amen, that causes God to speak in our life, amen? And so when we have this encounter and when we hear God speak, you need to know that the Spirit of God is going to lead you to a certain place. And when the Spirit of God leads you to a place, then don't complain about where you're going. Amen. Because he's leading. Amen. He is leading. And since he's leading, you ought to trust him. Amen. Well, right after God spoke. Now, this is the thing. God baptizes us, but Satan bombards us. Amen. Right after his baptism, there was a bombardment from Satan. Come on and say amen. Sometimes God pour our blessings upon us. We're so poured out on that we got all that we need. And then all of a sudden, Satan bombards us with something. Oh, come on and say amen. Look, right after God speaks, Satan strikes. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Yeah, whenever you hear a word from God, you better believe that Satan is coming to strike. The Bible tells us that when the word is sown, that the enemy comes immediately. Not, he don't wait. He does not give you time to let that word marinate or grow. He doesn't give it time to flourish and for you to nurture it. But immediately, while it's a seed, he wants to choke it up. Amen. While it's only a thought in your mind. As long as it's there in your mind, as long as it doesn't get down in your heart, he wants to choke it up. Come on and say amen. So when God speaks, Satan does what? He strikes out to come and get you. Amen. Or he strikes at you. And then the other thing is that when God fills us, the devil fights us. Lord, help me today. Whenever God fills you with his word, fills you with his spirit, the devil is going to fight you. Now, some of us say, well, I'm not going to be doing a whole lot of stuff for the devil to get his attention, for him to be trying to get at me. The mere fact that you have the word of God. Oh, come on and say amen. The fact that you're filled with his spirit and you remind him of God, he's going to fight you anyway. Because you remind him of God. You are in his image. You are a Christian. You are a person chosen by God. The problem is many of us don't even know that God has chosen us. God has called us. And we're trying to do something else. But you'll never be able to get away from the call that God has for you. Amen. And so even though you try to get on the devil's side so he don't bother you, amen, he's going to try and destroy you so that you can't get back to the place God called you to be in the first place. Hallelujah. So God will fill us, but Satan wants to fight us. Amen. And we find here that after those things, when he was baptized, after God spoke, after he was filled, come on and say amen, the devil bombarded, he struck at him and he fought him. Amen. But we find here that the Bible said that when Jesus then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, that's verse 1, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now let's look at his preparation. He knew that he was called to do something or sent to do something. Let's say that. He knew what he was sent to do. But he knew that there was a period of preparation. And guess what? There was a place of preparation. Amen. And guess what? God does not allow you to choose the period or the place. Lord, help me today. But he leads you to the place. Amen. And the wonderful thing about being spirit-led is that you're not driven like a cow. Amen. He doesn't corral you and he doesn't spook you to make you run somewhere. I know some people think that God spooks them and scares them straight. But God knows that if he scares you, that you won't stay straight. Anybody that came to church because they were afraid to die, afraid of this, or afraid of hell, never stayed in church. Amen. But the people who come to church because they love God, that's the one. The Spirit leads you to him. Amen. That's the one that stays with him. As we're talking about this about being spirit-led, you know, we can't be led by our flesh. We can't be led by our feelings. We can't be led by our emotions. Come on and say amen. But we have to be led by the Spirit, because when Isaac was led by his senses, his natural abilities, he ended up putting a blessing on somebody who he wasn't supposed to bless. Come on and say amen.
because he trusted in his smell. He trusted in what he tasted because his sight was failing him. He trusted those things rather than what he heard. Amen? And so we, by faith, we have to trust what we hear God saying. Amen? And so Jesus, being tempted or being led of the Spirit, because he heard the voice from heaven that said that he was the Son of God. Amen. Now here he is led into the wilderness. He's led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Now why would God lead him in a place where there's no water, there's no food, there's no people? Come on and say amen. Why would God lead him there? I know sometimes we think about where we are in life and we say, God, I know this can't be you. Why am I here? And God is saying, I got you here to prepare you. I got you here in this place of preparation for this period to prepare you for something greater. Oh, come on and say amen. If you don't have your wilderness experiences, you will not be able to get to the promise. Oh, glory be to God. If you don't have your wilderness experiences, you will not be able to triumph over the enemy, because the enemy, he can't touch you in the promised land because you got it. So he tried to hinder you in the wilderness. You see, Jesus had to go to the wilderness for a reason. Because, now listen, the Bible says in the book of Exodus that the children of Israel went in the wilderness and they stayed there for 40 years. Amen. And a lot of them died in the wilderness. Amen. Because of their doubt, because they didn't trust God. Hallelujah. But so Jesus, who was the representation to God for all of us, he represented us all, and he was our representative, he had to go back to the wilderness to show God that we trust him. Lord, help me today. So here he was in the wilderness. I'm going to get on to it. Amen. I know you're ready for some more of what we had last week. Amen. But he says, look, he says that he was in the wilderness. And why was he there? The purpose was to be tempted of the devil. God has a purpose for the devil too. He wouldn't let him stay here. He could have destroyed the devil with one word. But the devil, he has a purpose. The purpose is to tempt and try us to show, so God can show us that we're strong enough to overcome the enemy. Amen. And it's also to show us that God is God and the devil has limited power. He can't do much more than what God allows him to do. Come on and say amen. It was a purpose. He had a purpose for the wilderness, a purpose for him to be tempted. Amen? So he put him in the place of preparation. And while he was there, he prayed and he fasted for what? 40 days. He had a communion with God for 40 straight days. We can't have communion with God for 40 straight minutes. If we do that for 40 minutes, we've been too long in the presence of God. We've just been sitting here for too long. We've been in church too long. We've been praying too long. It don't take that long to tell God all that stuff. You can just tell him in a few words. Yeah, but I want to commune with him. I want to take some time with him. I want him to take his time with me. Come on and say amen. So I need to take time with him. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days. He fasted 40 days and nights. And afterwards, he was hungry. Now, the thing about this is that God will get you in a place in the wilderness, in a place where it seemed to be nothing, a place of nothingness, to teach you some things, to show you some things, and to prepare you for some things. Amen? And as he done that, the Bible says that he now was hungry. Now, the Bible lets us see that Jesus, even him, the Son of God, had to put his flesh under subjection. He had to mortify the deeds of his body also. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, we think that we don't have to fast. We don't have to pray. We don't have to dedicate time to God. If the Son of God did it, shouldn't we have to do it? Oh, my God, today. Some of us are half-stepping. Some of us are half-steppers when it comes to the things of God. We can do everything else in a timely fashion, in a good fashion, with length, amen, and with longevity. We are patient with everything else. We're patient watching TV. We're patient when we want sleep. We're patient even going to work, staying 8 hours. We're patient at school, but we can't be patient with God's work. Amen. It's tight, but it's right. Amen. We got to do better than what we've been doing. It's a sad, sad case when a Christian can't spend time in the presence of God. Why do you think you're in the wilderness now anyway? Because God has said that you've been so long in the city, so long celebrating with the others. God said, I want some time with you. Oh, yeah, you've been spending time with everybody. I got to go spend time with this person and that person. When are you going to spend time with the Lord? When are you going to let him be the God and the head of your life? When are you going to be led of the Spirit? God never leads us to do some of the things that we do, but we say it's God. Amen. Somebody say, God didn't lead me to go to church this morning. The devil is a lie. He said, forsake not the assembly of yourself. Come on and say amen here. Help us anyway. He said that he was in the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and night. Now we see that he was prepared. He was being prepared for something. And don't complain while you're in your wilderness, because God is preparing you for something. You may not know what it is, but just say, hey, God, whatever you prepare me for, I'm ready to do it. You got to pass some tests, though. You got to go through some tempting, some trying. You got to go through some things while you're in the wilderness. And while I'm here, instead of me complaining, I might as well soak up whatever God has for me. Now, the wonderful thing about this is that Jesus had went to John. He heard John preach, right? Jesus had a word in him because he was the word. And because the word was in him, amen, and you read another in another place, you'll find out that Jesus had been to the temple, amen? But because of the word that was in him, he was able to withstand the enemy. Now, there's a word that's been preached to you, taught to you for the season of your wilderness, but we don't always see what God is doing. Amen. Now, look at this. He says in verse 3, I'm going to go on. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now, he was there in a place to be prepared for preparation, but now here's a temptation. The first temptation was the temptation to be self-satisfied. Amen. To self-satisfy himself. Amen. So when we look at what happened in the first temptation, he says that if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. The devil will tempt and test you based on what you just heard. He had just heard that this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He will tempt and test you on the word that God just spoke to you to see if you really believe what God said. But the thing about Jesus is that Jesus didn't allow the necessity or the need to have something to eat move him to do something because the devil tested him. Many of us, because the devil tests us, we'll say, God, where you at? I need you right now. I'm hungry right now. I need to be filled up. This devil is tempting me. He's trying me to see if I'm the Son of God. You said I was, so why am I still hungry? Why am I not full? Why do I still have a financial need? Why do I still have a loneliness? Why do I still have a void? Why do I still feel like I need something more? But you don't use God to satisfy self. Don't use your position and your call to satisfy self. Come on and say amen. The first temptation was a temptation of the flesh. Now, remember in Bible study, for those of you who weren't here, I'll say a little bit about it. But the flesh has a voice. And the flesh will speak to you about doing some things. The flesh will tell you to go do something because your flesh wants it. Amen? Because your flesh said, I need it. Basically, sometime when our flesh, when our stomach is empty, our flesh will begin to growl. Come on and say amen. Because we're what? Hungry. And so Jesus' flesh was talking, but he wasn't listening. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, if you be the Son of God, he said, command these stones to be made bread. And why should he use his ability or his anointing on himself when he didn't come for himself? He came for us. Just to satisfy one need. When he was going to be the one to satisfy the need of mankind. Come on and say amen. And so here he was. Now, the first one, he said the tempter came and he said, if thou be the Son of God, he's testing and tempting him based upon who God said he was. And you know, the devil tell you, oh, you supposed to be all holy. You supposed to be this prayer warrior. So where's God now? You need him now. How come he's not doing it? You must not be praying right. Your prayers are not getting through. He's not listening to you because you're not who you said you was. You're not who he said you were. Oh, come on and say amen. You said that you was a Christian, you redeemed. Where is the Redeemer in your time of need? That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get you to thinking outside of what God is saying. And he wants to discredit God. Come on and say amen. Now, let me tell you something about the deceiver. The first thing the deceiver will do is try to discredit what God is saying. Look at what he done to Eve. He said, did God say that? He said, God knows you won't die. God said, he told you that so he, because he knows that you'll become like him, knowing good and evil. See, he tried to discredit what God has said. And in our need, and most of the time when we need something, that's when the enemy speaks to try to discredit everything that God said he would do. If God said he would save your family, your children, your wife, your cousin, your uncle them, your mama them, guess what? He can do it. If God said that he can heal your body, he said with his stripes, you'll heal. If you still feel the pain, don't worry about it. It does not make his word void. His word will not return void. Amen? Okay, let's go on a little further. But then he answered and said, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Look at this. Jesus was letting him know that I don't need to just have something to eat. I don't need him to just meet my need. I need to have a communication with him. I don't need to live by just having enough money, just being blessed is not enough. I need to have a communion with God. I need to have a conversation with God. So man can't live by bread alone, but by every word. For those of you who don't think the word is important enough that you need to come get it, come on and say amen. Jesus has just told us that man can't live by bread alone. You can't live by bread. Sometimes we call money bread. You can't live by your money alone. You can't, come on and say amen. You can't live by food alone. You can't live by blessings alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You need God's word worse than you need money, food, shelter. Come on and say amen. And if I got God's word, his word will be my shelter. Come on and say amen. He said he'll be my hiding place. Come on and give him glory. If I get God's word, his word will be my food. Jesus said that I got meat that you know not of. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. If I get God's word, it will be my money. He said he'll give me favor because I believe in his word. And favor, it gives you more than what money can buy for you. Come on and say hallelujah. I guarantee some of those people who are famous with all the money in the world, Mr. Jobs, who was the CEO of Apple, if he could spend his money to heal himself or be healed before he died, he would have. But it's the favor of God, the grace of God, come on and say amen, that will heal a person. So man can't live by bread alone. He can't live by transforming physical things into something that you need. Oh, yeah, something that will fulfill your need. But he said you can't live by bread alone, but by every what? Word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. And look at here. We got to understand God wants to feed us from his mouth to our mouth. What are you saying? I'm saying just like you do your children. You'll take your child when they're old enough and they can't eat certain things if it's something that need to be chewed up. Come on and say amen. You take it out of your mouth. And there ain't nothing wrong with that because that's your child. Oh, come on and say amen here. And so what God has said, ain't nothing wrong with you eating from my mouth because you're my child. Come on and say amen. And so I'd rather eat from the mouth of God than at the table of a sinner. Lord, help me today. I wish I had a church. The word eagle itself means to be fed from mouth to mouth. What does eagles do? They don't go find something dead to bring back to their children, their eaglets. No, they go and find something living, and the birds are sitting there with their mouth open, and they drop it in. Come on and say amen. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that some of us need to be just like the old saints used to sing that song, feed me, Jesus, till I want no more. You need to open up your mouth and say, my mouth is going to stay open until God fill it. Come on and say amen. I'm going to open up my mouth, and Lord, you fill it up with your word. Whatever comes out of your mouth. So man shall not live by bread alone, but every living word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Got to have a word in my mouth. That's how I live. The Bible said life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so whatever, oh, come on and say amen. And he said, if you increase it, you'll live or die by it. So whatever I say, whatever comes out of my mouth, what I got to speak the word. Why do I speak the word? Because the word of God is living, sharper than any two-edged sword. Come on and say amen. The word of God will clear my pathway. The word of God will make a way for me when I can't see my way. The word. The spirit of God will lead you to the word. The flesh will lead you to lay in the bed. But the spirit will lead you to the word. Oh yeah, the flesh will lead you to do some other things when church is going on. But the spirit will lead you to listen to the word. Come on and say amen. The flesh will cause you to deflect the word because you don't want to hear it. Oh, yeah, but the spirit will say, soak it up. It's good for you. It's like castor oil, cod liver oil. It's something good for you. It may not taste good right now, but when it gets in your belly, it's good for the moving of some things out of your life. Come on and say amen here. Hallelujah. Now, let's go on before I be too long. He said in verse 5, he said, then the devil taking him up to a holy city, the holy city, setting him on the pinnacle of the temple and saying unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest thou dash at any time thy foot against the stone. Amen. Now, the first thing was for self to self-satisfy. The next one is to self-ratify. Come on and say amen. It is the sin of the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Come on and say amen. What he was telling him, he said, so if you're so-called this Christian, you so-called saved, you so-called who God say you are, now the devil is targeting the church. He said he take him to the what? Temple. Now you can tell me the devil ain't at the church. Oh, he comes to church sometime, and he'll come with you to try to get you off track. Look at this. The Bible said that while he was there, he took him to a high place. And he said, now cast yourself down, trying to get Jesus to bring attention to himself. And then they would have said, ooh, look at what Jesus did. That's why I don't put my name in lights. This ministry is Living Word Ministry, not Al Holden. Come on and say amen. Because it's not about me. It's about the God in me. Help me, Holy Ghost, to preach it anyway. This temptation was to self-ratify, to get your self-approval, or get a few pats on the back. It was to disturb the temple worship and to bring attention to himself when God was saying, not yet. You can't do it now. Come on and say amen. Because he brought him to a high place. And he said, now drop down and bring attention to yourself. When you make it all about you, oh, yeah, you failed the test. Oh, come on and say amen. Because what the devil knew was that everybody was going to want to make him the king because he was already King of Kings. And he knew that if I can get him to do this without going to the cross, oh, come on, mankind wouldn't be saved. If I can get people to follow him without him going through the testing, without him going through the suffering, come on and say amen, then mankind won't be saved. Oh, yeah, but the devil knew that he was going to be followed. The devil knew that he was going to be high and lifted up on the cross. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, but look at this. The Bible says that the devil took him to that high place and then quoted scripture to him. How many know that the devil will try and quote scriptures to you? Oh, yeah, he'll try to misquote to get you off track. He'll try to, if you don't know your words, you better get to know it. Oh, yeah, because he'll twist it. He'll try to make it something that is not. He'll try to make it fit. Come on and say amen. But this was a test of rationalism. Amen. It was a test that went down to the soul of Jesus. Amen. Remember, I talked about the voices that a man could hear, the voice of God, the voice of the devil, the voice of your flesh, the voice of your soul, and the voice of your spirit. Come on and say amen. We find out that it was the voice of his soul, the voice of reason, by thinking about, well, if I jump, I know God will do it because my father won't let nothing happen to me right now. Oh, come on and say amen. Begin to reason within yourself. And we got to shut up the voice of reason, because the voice of reason gets us